This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
From the beginning, today is a day of dua, a day of sadaqah, a day of learning. So whenever you hear dua, say ameen all the time. Get excited. That's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the sunnah of Jibreel alayhi salam when he recited for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the last two verses in Surah Al-Baqarah. Jibreel said ameen. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you say ameen in the salah, and the angels say ameen. So this is a sunnah of the believers, humans and angels. So always say ameen. Ameen, anybody knows what ameen means? Ameen means, Ya Allah, I ask you the same for me. Ya Allah, give me the same. Ya Allah, accept. So it's an emphasis on the dua that you want it to be accepted and to have a share of it. So don't ever, when you ever hear dua, make sure that you say ameen. A lot of people say inshallah, but that's not correct. They should say ameen. Today I will talk to you about success. And I believe this topic, the issue, the topic, success, the concept, is very well needed today. In our community, in our world today, the success story, it is something inspiring. It will inspire us in a time where there are so many challenges, where especially us as a Muslim community going through a rough time, hard time, especially in a time of elections, where everybody start picking on us, picking on Muslims. Also, when you have a lot of people who misrepresenting our religion, like what happened today in Broxall, unfortunately, with the death of over 40 people and 100 plus people injured, and this done in the name of our religion, and our religion has nothing to do with it. Before that, Turkey was attacked, and before that, many other places in the world. And I posted something and I said, these terrorist attacks that take place do not differentiate between Muslim and non-Muslims. And this is an enemy of all of us. They're not representing our religion. And we should, as communities around the world, be unified in fighting these extreme views. And nothing to fight these extreme views more than being unified and strong and having trust in one another as a community, as a society. And don't let us break us apart. But still, with all this been said, a lot of Muslims feel depressed, feel feared, afraid. You know, a lot of people on the other side of the aisle, they're willing to jump the gun. They're willing to be more aggressive against us as Muslims. And we feel threatened, even though so many, we as a community, we feel that's our place, our home, that's our future, and that's our past. But we don't have another place we're planning to go to. So there's a lot of fear that even, unfortunately, a lot of people, they don't have today, that they got even to dream about a bright future for themselves and for their family and for their community. Where I lived in the United States, you know, there is a very famous movement, you all are aware of it, the Civil Rights Movement. And Martin Luther King, one of the leaders of this movement, used to say, I have a dream. That's how he led his people. That's how he led this movement. And I say, unfortunately today, so many of us as Muslims, we say, I have a problem. You know, we don't say, I have a dream. We are led by our problems more than led by our dreams. And the moment you allowed yourself to be led by your problems, you will not go very far. You should be always led by your aspiration, by your dreams, by your goals that you set for yourself. You always have the right to dream and to think big and to think positive of the future. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the battle of Al-Ahzab, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was surrounded with the mushrikeen from every corner in Arabia. He was telling the companions radiallahu anhu mardahum that this deen will reach the farthest point east and west. He making them led by the goal that he have set for them, that give them that sense of optimism, sense of trust that things will succeed, sense will prevail. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. When the Muslims were rejected from stopped from entering Mecca, when they were forced to go back to Medina after they came for Umrah, and the people of Mecca refused to allow them to enter. But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. That's a great conquer, a great opening. You might read the treaty, the peace treaty between the Prophet ﷺ and the people of Mecca. For the first moment you think, this treaty is not in the best interest of Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that that peace treaty is the greatest conquer, the greatest opening, the greatest achievement that the Nabi ﷺ achieved as so far at that point with the people of Mecca. Because it's easy to win a war, by the way, but it's not easy to win a peace. And that peace, guess what, was the reason for people to come to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in large groups. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and reminded him of that, of the surah that we know. أَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. When you see people coming into the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, groups after another. My point was that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have set these goals in a time of desperation, in a time where people have less hope, when the time you see things cloudy, since things are not clear in the future. And that's why I do believe that we need that success today, that success story, that talking about our success as a community, as an individual. We need to touch and to see the success in ourselves in order for us to be able to face all these challenges in life. We as Muslims, we hear that call to success every day. 15 times, and if you're Hanafi, you hear it 20 times. Hayya ala al-falah. Come to success. Come to success. Doesn't this make us think about this word a little bit? What success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us? It is only the success in the Akhirah? Absolutely, yes. It is the Akhirah's success, which is to be saved from hellfire and enter Jannah. But that's not the only success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see in our life. Not only the success in the next life. He wants to see us succeed in every aspect of our life. When it comes to entering Jannah and saved from the hellfire, that's what I call the ultimate success. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Those who Allah saved from hellfire and enter Jannah have achieved success. But also, al-Islam wanted to be successful businessman, successful parent, see your marriage succeed. Wanted to be a successful student, wanted to be a successful child, and you succeed in communicating perfectly with your spouse. Also want you to succeed in every area. He want to see us succeed in our mosque, succeed as a community, succeed as a society, as a country. In every level, in every project in your life, you should achieve success. And you deserve that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you in a way and enabled you to be able to reach the success that you dream of. So today I want to speak about all this kind of success. I want you to succeed in memorizing the Quran. I want you to succeed in making more qiyam al-layl. I want you to succeed in improving your relationship with Allah and improving your relationship with your spouse, with your parents, with your children. I want to succeed in quitting the bad habits and adopting and starting new habits, changing your character trait to be something attractive. All these areas, I would like you to succeed in it, and I want to talk about them. But I cannot talk about them individually. That's why I decided to give you principles. And I will share with you 11 principles. You might see all of them apply to you. You might see some of them you're more interested in some more than others. Whatever fits you, take it. You know, but the main point here, let's make sure that these words are not just a word that's empty words to hype you up for a few seconds. No. I hope that this is something you can carry with you and something will make a change in your life for a long term. For us as an individual, for us as family, and as a community as well. I got the privilege before I arrived to the hotel to get a tour in your city, and I see some of the projects that you guys planning to build, the masjid that is still under construction, and hopefully inshallah that site also will be built soon. I've seen there is a great future that you have, and I want to see the success story, something I can share with other communities as well. So what's the first principle I want to start with? The first principle that I want to start with, that's very unique, that those successful people don't ever see mistakes, failures, hardship as enemy for their success. So as a matter of fact, they see their failures and the hardship and calamity and the challenges and the mistakes that the wrong that they have done are something that encourage them to move forward. It's an experience that they build on. That's something that they learn from. They never were discouraged by their mistakes. They learned from their mistakes. And this is something very important. The more you go through hardship, the more things are difficult in front of you, the more you should trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to learn from it, wants you to grow from it. I was telling yesterday the guys in Edinburgh that, I'm trying to lose weight. You can tell how much successful I am. But I am successful, alhamdulillah, because I never quit. Anyway, I keep telling no to the food, but food don't listen. Okay, so here you go. Whenever when I hire a personal trainer, my personal trainer told me, hey, chef, you know what we say? If no pain, no gain. I'm going to work you out in the gym. I'm going to make this muscle turn. Because this muscle, when it grows, it will start burning the fat around it. And I'm going to make sure that these muscles that you don't use much, your legs muscles are stretched to the max. But there are certain muscles in your body, you don't use it much. And these have a lot of potential to grow. So these are the muscles I'm going to target. So it's really going to hurt you. And I want you to know that. But that's your way to gain. That's your way to grow. That's your way to be stronger. A lot of time we think that this hardship, these challenges, these difficulties that you go through in your marriages, in your career, in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the thing that strike you, never meant to break you down, never meant to weaken you. It's meant to make you grow strong and stronger, meant to you to discover new things in you and abilities. A brother by the name of Khalid, where I grew up in Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia. He's like these young volunteers here, mashallah, full of energy. One of our brothers and friends. I can't describe him to you really, because he was a person full of love, full of care for others. Anytime you need something, he's ready. Anyone need help, he's ready. To pick up some from the airport, carry something clean, lend money, anything you want. He's the first man to say, yes, I'm here. I don't think I ever seen this guy sitting. He's always active. He got a flu. And that virus attacked his spine. Unfortunately. Which is very rare. So that means he will be confined in a wheelchair. He can't walk anymore. He can't stab anymore. So one of the brother, he said, I went to visit him in the hospital, and I couldn't think what kind of words should I say. The last person I can think in my life in a wheelchair will be that person. The most active person you can think of. And he said, I was outside the room saying, Ya Rab, help me to say something good. I didn't know how to start with the conversation even. I walk into the room, and I see this big smile and Brother Khalid's face. And he was saying, finally, I have the time to sit to finish my Hifz al-Quran. When he said that, I just smiled and said, he started the conversation. Finally, Allah will now give me the time to sit, not to be all over the place, so I can focus on finishing my Hifz. I still have 20 juz to finish. Guys, in 9 months, this brother finished his Hifz al-Quran. In 1.5 years, he was walking with a cane after being so committed to physical therapy. And he was able to walk again. Yes, it was a terrible thing that he had to go through that 1.5 year of physical therapy. Maybe he lost a little bit of his ability to move in the same way he used to before. But now he still functions. He's still an independent person. But guess what? He memorized the Quran. He committed himself to learn Allah. A lot of things he gained. He found out that this never meant to confine him. It meant him to make him grow in another way. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make his qadr. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it many times in the Quran. Many stories in the Quran lead to the same conclusion. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا.
You might hate something and Allah will bring a lot of good out of it.
لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم.
Don't think of it as something bad, it is good. It's up to you how you will deal with this. I live in the southern in America. We love codfish that you guys have for, you know, fish and chips. You know, we don't use it for fish and chips. But anyway, they also have another unhealthy way of cooking that fish. So in Louisiana, so they start bringing from the north. They bring it frozen. It's nobody really cared for it. Anyway, a guy brought a big tanker and he put a lot of this fish in it in the tanker and bring it down to the south, to Louisiana. But by the time it arrived to Louisiana, the fish was so smushy and like not very good, not fresh. Then people didn't like it. So the guy came up with a unique idea. He brought a catfish, which is the natural predator for codfish. He dropped it in the, dropped several ones in the tanker. So the whole entire trip, the fish are so alert. Every time the catfish moved, the whole school fish of the codfish start moving. So the whole trip, the codfish were so active, moving around. By the time they arrived to down south to Louisiana, coming from Maine, from New York area, the fish was so fresh as if just came out of the ocean. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drop these catfish in your way just to keep you alert, to keep you awake, to keep you strong. Not for any other reason. Stumble might prevent a fail, we say. So maybe that stumble something bad, but prevented you from something worse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so many times, He put these things in our way, these challenges to make us grow. That's why Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَلَا إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. It's amazing how the believer, everything happened to him or to her is good for them. Everything happened to you is good for you. You sometimes don't see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the first verse in the Quran you read after Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
All praise due to Allah for everything. We praise Him for His infinite wisdom behind every action He planned. I read once in the book of Tafsir, a king has a minister. That minister, he always say Alhamdulillah for anything happened. Say Alhamdulillah. So that king was going on a hunting trip and he was cutting an apple. So he cut the tip of his finger. The blood started gushing. So that minister said what? What do you think he said? Alhamdulillah. The king got so angry. He said, Alhamdulillah, I cut my finger. I'm going to hold the arrow. I'm going to go on. You know, he was angry at him. And he said, no, Alhamdulillah. So what's good in this? He said, put him in jail. Take him, put him in another tent, lock him up until I go back to my castle and see what I'm going to do to him. He was so angry at him. So the guy, when they tied his hand over the guard, basically started taking him to the tent where he would be locked up. He said what? Alhamdulillah. He got even much, and he got so angry. He said, say Alhamdulillah as much as you want in jail. Next day he goes, he's running behind whatever he's hunting, got lost from his people, caught by his enemy. And that area is an area where sacred idols, and they don't allow anybody to walk into it. So anyway, to make the story short because of the time, they decide to give that king as a form of sacrifice for their god. They put him in that marble, big marble slab, about to slaughter him. Then the priest said, no, stop. This guy's a bad luck for our nation. Why? They said, because the tip of his finger is missing. And in their basic ritual, it has to be a full body. So they said, let him go. He's a bad luck. He, the whole entire way back to his camp, saying what? Alhamdulillah. That's what saved me. So he got the minister out, and he said to him, you know what, I'm so sorry, I'm wrong. He said, tell me what happened to you in that basically prison. He said, nothing. He said, must happen. You said, Alhamdulillah. So what happened to you? He said, nothing, Your Highness. Nothing happened. He said, must be something good. You said, Alhamdulillah. He said, I tell you, the only one who has horse like yours is me. The only one who always with you is me.
If I wasn't in jail and I was with you, we will end up in that place and they will let you go because if you're missing figure, and I will be the one who sacrificed. So alhamdulillah that you put me in jail and I wasn't with you. So Zamakhshari said, Yani alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. It's absolutely yes, alhamdulillah for everything. And this attitude is the first step towards success. Don't ever be discouraged by your failure, by your mistakes. Always be encouraged by them. Always know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to grow stronger. Remember what the Prophet said, that people will be tested according to their iman, to their faith, and Allah knows how much exactly you can take. People are like, you know the black diamond is the charcoal? Black diamond and charcoals are made from carbon. Structure is different, but they are from the same element. One is very cheap, one is very valuable. Why this one is so valuable, the black diamond? Because it has the ability to resist pressure, while the other one can crush easily. When you have that ability to resist that pressure in life, when you're strong enough to push back, you're a person of value. You're a person who have great value. But when you're a person easy to be crushed, easy to be just falling down and not able to stand up again, you're not a person who achieved much in life. So if you study any successful story in business, you will see how many times they had to go through struggle. Pick it. One of the things I will always recommend people to look at Honda, for example. It's an amazing story. His story, how his factory bombed many times and burned at least three times. And he started from scratch and every time he comes back stronger to be one of the most famous car maker in the world. Look at how Microsoft started. Look at Steve Jobs and Apple, how it started. Look at Starbucks' success story. Look at the GE. Look at many, many Microsoft, many different companies. There is one common factor between all of them if you study them, which is interesting. They all went in the beginning through a very hardship, and every time they learn from their mistakes, they learn from their calamities to come back stronger. Number two, in order for you to succeed in life, you have to have goal in life. Without goals, very hard for me to see how you succeed in your life. In any area you want to succeed, you have to have a goal. And you not only goal, you have to have a smart goal. You guys in Aberdeen have a good team. I heard they are second now in place in the league. Or second. Maybe, hopefully, you guys bring the 80s back. Didn't you guys in the 80s win the European Cup and the UK? We're champions. So hopefully you guys bring the 80s back here to the city. Anyway, can you imagine this goal, this life, or this game without the goals? Let's take the goals out. Just let's see how this game will be. They pass the ball to each other. Whoever keeps the ball longer, he's the winner. Would that be an interesting game to watch? Huh? Where we have clubs and fans and all those business around them? No. It would become what? A very boring game. And that's exactly how your life is. A very boring life if you don't have clear goals in life. And unfortunately, a lot of us, individuals, organizations, and Muslim community members, and organizations, they don't have clear goals in life. They don't have clear goals what they want to build. If you come to some of our masajid and you ask them, what exactly as an imam, what exactly as an administration you want to build in 2016? What exactly you want to achieve with your community in this year? You will find the answer, nothing clear. Even not cross their mind sometimes. I was once visiting one of the Muslim communities and I found this beautiful building, three stories, and I asked them, what's this for? They told me, wallahi, they told me this. They said, we haven't decided yet, Sheikh. I said, oh, mashallah. What you're smiling for? You build a three stories building and you don't even know what you want to use it for. No goal yet. It's sad. There's a lot of people live like that, day by day. You ask them, what's your financial goal? What is the goal when it comes to your family relationship? What is your goal when it comes to relationship with the Quran? What's your goal when it comes to relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And these are legit questions you have to answer, to ask yourself about. And SMART goals, SMART acronym stands for, S stands for specific. You have to have a specific goal. That's all over the place, you know, I want to get in shape. That doesn't take you much. You want to know, I want to lose 20 pounds by the end of 2016. You know, I want to be, for example, I want to marry a good man. What's good man means? A good girl's mean? Just a good. So what that means? It's just very vague because you're not specific. You don't know, have a clear idea of what you want. Okay, I want someone between that age group. I want someone, his income between that bracket. I want someone with that level of education. I want someone with that ethnic background or culture background, you know, or I'm open. I have a clear idea what I want. If you don't have a clear idea of what you want, you would never find what you want you're looking for. Because you would never be satisfied. You don't know what your goal in life is. And that's a very important to be specific about your goal. SMART, and the M stands for major. You know, it has to have a logical way of majoring, logical system of majoring your progress. And you know, did you achieve your goal or not? You ask yourself specific, how am I going to achieve this? When do I know that I achieved my goal? You have to be able to major that success. To major that these steps that you take. Number three is SMART, attainable. Something possible. Not something impossible. Hey, I want to learn Arabic and I'll be fluent in Arabic. And you live in a community, in a society, in a surrounding, have nothing to do with Arabic language. Come on, how are you going to be fluent in Arabic language and master and you have not any element that allowed you? Or someone said, learn Arabic in 1 year. How can you do? I'm going to memorize the Quran by the end of the year, but you don't have any memorization. Your memory skills is not that strong with Arabic language. Make sure that you ask for attainable goal, something you can attain, something you can achieve. Also relevant, SMART. So R, relevant. Relevant is very important as well. Like, I can't go to someone like a lawyer. That's what he does. He studies papers and all what he does in life. You know, he's good with papers. Then I tell him, hey, he said, my goal is to make in the next 20 minutes, you know, 300 tuna sandwiches. You know, that's not relevant to him. He doesn't know how to do that. Okay? Or someone like me, I'm not good at math. You know, me and math, we're not very good friends. You know, math has a lot of problems, and I don't like things with problems. You know? So, anyway, it's not relevant to me to tell me, hey, I want to be a mathematics or teach math and math. It's not relevant to me. So that goal is not something I will be putting for myself. So SMART, the T, timely. It has to have a timeline. It has to have a time, an end, when you're going to finish. Learn this from me. Anytime you have a task or you give a task to someone, always ask them this, when you're going to finish it, when it will be done. Ask yourself every time you make a commitment to something, ask yourself this question, when it will be done, when I will be finishing it. Because loose end will never take you to an end. Other people say, you have to make it smarter, add ER. ER stands for excitement, you're excited about the idea, not something boring. And R stands for recorded. Recorded is very unique. I was giving a talk similar to this in a church once. So a guy came to me in the church, and he said, an old white man came to me and said, Sheikh, I want to give you, I tell you something about something that you said and it just resonated with me. And I want you to share it in your talk in the future. And I've been doing that. I said, what? He pulled his wallet, and he pulled out of his wallet a piece of paper. In it, he wrote 5 goals. He wrote it about 40 years ago or so, 35 to 40 years ago. He said, these 5 goals, I wrote them, I have them, record your goals. So he said, every time I'm about to make a major decision in my life, I look at these 5 goals. Are these decisions I'm about to make will help me to achieve these goals or not? Yes, I do it. No, I let it go. Recording your goals help you a lot to achieve what you want. I know another brother, he wrote in his wallet here, I saw it, he said, I will be millionaire by 2013. I'll have $1 million by 2013. He recorded his goal. It's always in front of his eyes. And he had actually $1 million. He made $1 million by 2013 in about a year and a half. So here what I'm saying, recording your goal help you a lot to achieve, to have a smarter goal. Okay. Number three, your success is based on your ability to benefit from the thing that Allah have given you. The gifts, the talents that Allah have blessed you with. And each and every one of us is unique. It's unique like anybody else, if that makes any sense. But anyway, so every one of us is unique. Every one of us has a lot of potential. When Allah created Adam, He told the angels about Adam, "I know of Adam what you don't know." You think Adam and his children will only kill one another, spread corruption on earth? They are capable of things way more than that. So make sure that you meet your Lord's expectation. You know, every one of us share with any successful person in life, whether Bukhari, Abu Hanifa, Malik, Ahmed, Abu Bakr, Umar, you name it, in science field, Einstein, you name any person in business field, in any area, we all share one verse in the Quran, many verses, but one of the verses in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةِ. Allah brought you out of your mother wombs, knows nothing. Al-Bukhari didn't come out of his mother womb saying haddathana. Shafi'i didn't come out of his mother womb saying giving fatwa. He was like you crying. But Allah gave us the ability to hear, to see, to understand, to comprehend, so we can grow, to acquire the knowledge. And that's the reality, that Allah has given you so many gifts, but unfortunately, we never open our gift. Still wrapped. Many of us didn't discover their abilities yet. Didn't utilize these gifts that Allah have given them. These talents Allah have given you are gifts from Allah to you. What you do with them is your gift back to Allah. When I graduated from high school, my teacher took me in his car. And he said, I'm taking you to a place where there is ideas can change our city. Change even the world maybe. Ideas that can make millions of dollars, reals at that time. Potential. That it potentially can make a lot of success. I thought he's going to take me to university, business district area. He took me to the cemetery. I said, what? He said, do you see this cemetery? In these graves, there is ideas worth millions. These ideas can change lives, can improve people's lives. But unfortunately, there are potentials there. But unfortunately, these ideas died with its people. Waleed, when you go to your grave, make sure that your potential and the thing that you're capable of doing will not be buried with you. And I tell me, each and every one of you, don't go to your grave and there is so much you can do and you have not done yet. Number four, success is based on a very Islamic concept. It's called al-ihsan, to perfect your work. And this is a sad story when it comes to our work. You know, we do a lot of ihsan in secular life. But when it comes to our own life, when it comes to relationship with Allah, with no ihsan. With da'wah, there is no ihsan. With work and masajid, there is no ihsan. Unfortunately. You know, there is no ihsan in general in the Muslim world. It's a sad story. How come, while as Muslim, we hear what Allah said in the Quran? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves the muhsineen. In the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah loves when someone of you do something, will do it perfectly. Allah prescribed ihsan upon every and each one of us. That's how the Prophet ﷺ said. So why when we do things, we always look to just pass by? Why we do things nearly correct? Why is not exactly correct? Why don't we try always when we say things, when we make plan, we make perfect things? Is it good or great? Which attitude you have? Those who have the attitude of just good enough, they don't go far. But those who have that interest to do more than good enough, they are the successful one in life. Look at Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Just pick any one of these successful stories. Look at Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He didn't say, I just want to be a good ruler. No. He wants to be an excellent person. Look at Abu Bakr. He wants to be called from the eight gates of paradise. He doesn't want to be called from one gate, even though Abu Bakr will enter from how many gates? Enter from one gate. Yani what? A leg from one gate and a hand from one gate and his head from another gate? No, he's going to enter from one gate. But he wants to have that higher level. He wants to choose which gate to enter. Today, us? Well, one of us will say, I don't mind from the window underneath the gate. Just throw me in. Very low. We aim very low. While these they don't just look for being good. They want it to be great. Number five, success is based on sabr, patience. Inna Allah ma'as sabireen, Allah with those who are patient. Inna man nasr ma'as sabr, the Prophet ﷺ said, victory is with sabr. Allah said, wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusr, all human are losing, except those who possess four qualities. One of them, they are patient. Patience give you the ability to have self-control, which has helped you a lot to succeed. Give you the ability to think far, not just to think at the moment. Give you the ability to think before you react. A lot of time we lose because we react quickly. We don't think through. Sabr means, as Ibn al-Qayyim said, your ability to adjust to the new situation that you're living in. And this is a great quality, that you have the ability to adjust. Number six, I just want to move quickly because of the time. Success is based on your attitude. As we say, your attitude determines your altitude. How far you go. It's your attitude. What's your attitude in life? Is your attitude in life that you're a person who always say, it's not going to happen. You know, I can't change. I can't quit. You know, that's who I am. You know, this is just something always happy. You know, it's my DNA. I can't change that. Or is your attitude, how can I change it? How can I improve it? You know, I know it's hard and difficult, but I'll try. It's your attitude will determine, are you going to be successful or not? You know, like this guy, he's a diabetic, okay? He went to the doctor, and the doctor told him, sorry, you know, your results is terrible. You know, your sugar is very high in your blood. He said, oh, doctor, don't worry. You know, diabetes runs in the family. Then the doctor said, I'm afraid nobody in the family runs. That's why you have diabetes. You know? It is not about, it's the attitude. Oh, it runs in the family, khalas. So I said, no. It's your attitude will determine how successful you are. Are you giving up or are you fighting? Are you going to dig your heel in or are you going to willing to throw the towel? And you just say, I'm quit. It's your attitude. Your attitude in life is determined how we will be perceived. Is my attitude that I live like a victim and begging people for sympathy, I need to be, give me mercy and beg for people's attention? Or I live like a victor, like someone have trust in himself, someone have self-assurance, confidence in his ability or in her ability. That will determine how successful you will be. A lot of time when couples about to get married, I tell them, the way you see yourself will determine how far you will go. It's your attitude, how your marriage will go. If you enter a marriage and you always say, it's not going to work, I know it's going to happen. I know I come from a family where divorce is happening. If this is your attitude, you can fail. But if your attitude is confidence, that's another area. That's another deal. So it's not what happened to us in life. It's what we do about it. That's what's really the main issue here. It is important for us to always be positive. That positive mental attitude, it's amazing. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is very positive. Always focus on the positive area. When he came to Mecca, he said, I was sent to complete the good manner that you have. He focused on the good part. That's why he said, those who said, all people are bad, he's the worst among them. He's the worst among them. مَنْ قَالَ هَلَكَ النَّاسِ فَوَا هَلَكُهُمْ. Is your attitude also is always to look at others or you start with yourself? Is your attitude, it is the attitude will determine in many areas how far you will go. That's why the real disability in life is bad attitude. Number seven, success cannot happen. Success is not a dream. It is not just a fantasy of the world. Success is a hard work. Success, it means you work hard. Even when you go to Jannah, every time Allah mentioned doing good deeds. كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُدَغِي. You struggle and you work hard until you achieve success. That's how it is going to take. It's not going to happen like that. Your community is not going to grow by just criticizing. You know, my brothers and sisters, there is a new phenomenon today. That I see a lot of brothers and sisters online and social media so active. By the way, being active in social media does not make you necessarily an activist. Just posting things online, it doesn't make you an activist. An activist is someone who organizes events like that. An activist is someone who lobby, and someone who work, someone who bring, someone who work, someone who sweat. That's an activist. An activist is someone who will give solutions. Not just to post things online and you think, oh, I became an activist. No. With the work, the hard work is what's going to pay off. And working hard is what's going to build the reputation. As it's been said, you never ever build reputation in what you are going to do. Your reputation builds in what you have done, what you have accomplished. That's where your reputation builds. That's how your reputation is built. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, tie your camel and have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only time I find work come before success in dictionary. But in real life, no, it doesn't. You have to work hard to earn that success that you want. Number eight, success is based on good planning. Good planning means you know where you're at, where are you going, how are you going to go there. Good planning means you have the ability to have multiple ways to achieve your goal. It's very poor planning if you only depend on one way. When you give yourself multiple options, you're a successful person. Successful da'i, the one who gives people multiple options. Do not put them in a tight corner. That's not a good da'wah. That's not a successful da'wah. Also, good timing, clarity, consulting. Also, your ability to set your priority correct. Number nine. One of the principles for success is modeling someone. You should choose someone to model. And as Muslim, we have Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as our best model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And Rasulullah, there is a best example. But also in the Anbiya, the Prophet and Messenger, there is an example to follow. There is things to learn. You know, also in the companions, in the story of the scholars, of the successful people, even in modern day today, it's not a bad idea at all to see someone successful and you start modeling them. You know, brothers and sisters, I have one of my students, I saw him in a doctor's office. And he's not studying medicine. So I asked him, this young man, why you are in this doctor's in the summer? You don't need internship. What is it? He said, I actually internship with that doctor because he's very successful. He's a good da'iyah. His Islamic background is good. MashaAllah, he's a very successful businessman and he's an excellent physician. And he runs his own business. So I want to learn from him. I had so much respect for this young man. Because he looked at someone in the community that he can be someone that he modeled, someone he can learn from. I wish that we have many people think that way. That someone said, hey, I want to have someone that I can model, a bigger sister, a bigger brother. And you yourself can do that. MashaAllah, you yourself should be representing yourself as a model for the young generation to copy and to benefit from. Number 10, which is successful people are leaders. Your success is based on your ability to act like a leader. I'll tell you the truth, I have seen a lot of good managers in the Muslim community all over the world, but I have found very few good leaders. There's a difference between being a leader, have that leadership attitude, to act like a leader, not just as a successful manager or boss. No. You know, leaders, they practice power with people, not over people. Leader, they create change. They don't just react to change. You know, leaders, they take responsibility. They don't take credit. Leaders, you want to be successful, be a leader. Leaders, they try to be understood, not just to be heard. Leader, they energize. They don't explain. Leader, they sell. They don't tell. Leaders, there's a big difference. Leaders, they influence people, not just to impress people. Leaders, they improve others. They just not inform others. That's successful people. Successful people, have, it's not for them, it's not about what I have made, what how much money I made. It's about how much difference I made in life. That's the attitude that's going to take you to be a successful person. And finally, my last point is to remember that success is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Success is the fadl and minna from Allah azza wa jal. It's a gift from Allah to you. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Any blessings that you possess is from Allah. Don't be like Qarun who said, everything I have, it's because of me. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. No. That's why every time you thank Allah for something, He give it to you, Allah give you more. If you were able to fast one day for the sake of Allah, and you thank Allah for it, Allah give you the ability to fast again. You donate something, Allah give you the ability to donate again. You did Qiyam al-Layl, you basically earned money, you made a good business move, and you thank Allah for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you more and more and more. And that's something very important for us to always remember, that the success, it's in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means we always beg Allah, Nadu Allah, mukhlisin, from the bottom of our heart, Ya Rabb, give us success. Ya Rabb, give me the success, the ability to do this, the ability to achieve that. With all the means that you take, you should not only rely on them, and you forget about your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I really do believe in my brothers and sisters all over the world when I travel. I do believe that you can get what you want. You can be that successful parent. You can be that successful spouse. You can be that successful student, a successful businessman. I do believe that you can quit that bad habit. And you can make a new start. I do believe that you can make that change in your life today. And you become a better person. I do believe that we all, inshallah ta'ala, can commit to our deen and serve our community and serve our humanity in large to be good role model. That success in life in the level of you as an individual, as a community, as a family, as a community, is something attainable, something can be achieved if we put some of these principles into work. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us success in the dunya and the akhirah. And again, I would like to thank you for coming out tonight to this interesting place. Also would like to thank all the volunteers and the brothers and sisters who work hard, alhamdulillah, to put this together. May Allah accept from all of us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.